We didn't have any special singing tonight or anything, so we're fine on time. And I'll try not to. Give you the message the Lord's laid on my heart, and I preached already out of John 15 this morning. If you weren't here, and this is not a part two, but it goes right along with what I preached on this morning. But if you have your Bibles, we'll read out of John chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John 15, verses 1 through 8. And the Bible says there, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for letting us be here tonight. Once again, we praise you for the word of God and for the good day that you've given us, the pretty day, the good day at church this morning, and then the opportunity to be back tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts from the word of God, Lord, and that you'd make it real to us as we think about a life that ought to bear fruit for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I want my life to be a life like that. And even what we've heard about tonight with going into the schools and going among the young people. God, we want to do these things. We want to see these things prosper. But God, we desire that there would be good fruit come out of it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look into the Word of God tonight. And I pray, Lord, for your help. And I pray that you'd have your way. We come and ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right. We preached this morning on the subject of the fruitful garden. But I want us to go tonight to verse number 2. And we're going to read that one more time. Verse number 2, the Bible said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now tonight, I just want to try to preach on the subject of pruning. What pruning is, what pruning does. And we do not read the word prune here in the Word of God, but we certainly see the process described. It's described in verse number 2. That is what this is talking about. It's talking about pruning. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now that word purgeth there, if you look up that word in a concordance, what it means, the word purgeth, it means to cleanse, especially to prune. And so that's what that's talking about. It's talking about the process of pruning, purging a plant. Verse number 6 is describing the same thing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. That's that branch that's been pruned or purged. He's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you look up pruning or the word prune in the dictionary, it means to cut off the superfluous branches. That word superfluous there, it means the unnecessary branches. That's part of pruning. You've got to get rid of the stuff that doesn't need to be there, to cut off the superfluous branches, to make them bear better fruit, to grow higher, To be more handsome in appearance is what the dictionary says about the word pruning. Now, pruning is an essential ongoing process for any vineyard, any garden, or any orchard. Any serious gardener that is expecting to have a fruitful garden needs to know about pruning and needs to implement pruning into their gardening or into their orchard. And it's something that's an ongoing thing. It's not something that you do one time and you're done. But when you're talking about pruning, now we're applying this to our lives. You got to remember that. This applies to our lives. The Lord just doesn't work on us one time and we're done, does He? He works on us over and over and over again. As long as we live, the Lord is going to be working in our lives. But if you're serious about wanting to have a fruitful garden, you're going to have to know some things about pruning. And you're going to have to implement those things into your garden work. Now, as we noticed here in verse number 2, the Lord knows some things about pruning. That's the process that's described in verse number 2. And He implements it into the lives of His children and His churches. The Lord prunes in our lives individually, but He also prunes in our lives collectively because He desires to get fruit out of our lives. Have you ever been going along in your life and something is going on, something is happening? Maybe it's a outward circumstance. Maybe it's a personal. Maybe it's something that's just going on with you, spiritually speaking, and you can tell that the Lord is working in your life. And you ask yourself the question, why is this happening? What's going on in my life? Have you ever thought maybe it could be the Lord's pruning in your life? Maybe God's working in your life. Maybe it's like the little song that we used to sing and our children still sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He will work on you as long as you're drawing breath in this life. God's going to be working on you because He cares, because He loves us, and because He wants to get fruit out of our lives. The Lord continually prunes in our lives. So with the Lord's help tonight, I want us to look here in the Word of God and we'll point out some things and we'll look at what pruning does and the reason that you prune to begin with. Number one, let me give you these things tonight. Number one, God prunes in our lives to get more and better fruit out of our lives. That's what pruning does. More and better fruit. Verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, He prunes it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. That it may. That's a key word. He purgeth it, He prunes it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit is what the Bible says. Now, many things can be pruned. You can, somebody last week, I was preaching along these lines. And there was a man there, and he said that he had been pruning or trimming his maple trees. Well, you can prune or trim, shape up a maple tree, an oak tree, any kind of tree like that you want to. Lots of things can be pruned. A lot of people, they prune or they trim their shrubs. They'll shape them up in the springtime. Flowers are the same way. I read in the newspaper the other day in the gardening section, and that's something that's worth reading in the newspaper. It says, what to do in the garden this week. And it said, deadhead your flowers so that they'll continue to bloom. And what you're doing when it's talking about deadheading your flowers, what they're getting ready to do this time of the year, they start wanting to, they start making a seed. And it shoots up above the rest of it. But if you'll cut that off, It'll continue making flowers. And so it says, continue to deadhead your flowers. What you're doing, you're pruning them so they'll make more flowers, not them ugly stems or shoots that come up out of the top of them. But I want to say tonight that God didn't save us to be ornamental shrubs. God didn't save us to sit around and just look pretty. Did you know that? God didn't save us to be shade trees for somebody. God's desire out of our lives is fruit. And I pointed that out this morning. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit out of our lives. That's what the Lord wants out of our lives. And so I preached on that a little bit this morning. You say, preacher, you already said that. I know that I already said that. But something else that we need to point out tonight that you need to know is that pruning is not just a random going into the garden, going up to a vine, and just cutting things off. Just cutting off what you don't want to be there. That is not what real pruning is. Now, somebody told me a while back, they said, I got my son to come up and prune my apple trees. But what he did, he didn't know what he was doing. So when he went up, he cut them back. Oh, he worked on them all right, but he just about ruined them as far as the fruit's concerned. He didn't do it. Now, pruning is not just going and lopping things off. Pruning is an exact thing. It has a purpose behind it. There is a science behind it. And what you want to get when you prune, yes, you want more fruit, but you know what? You want better fruit. You want better fruit. And that's what the Lord wants out of our life. He not only wants more fruit out of our lives, but the Lord wants better fruit out of our lives. Now, we live in a day and a time where there is much emphasis that is placed on quantity. How many? How many? You can go, and especially when I was out west, and I've told you this before, but it always used to bug me. I pastored a small little church in a small little town. But I'd go somewhere and I'd meet another pastor or another missionary. First thing they want to know, how many goes to your church? How many goes to your church? And that is the great emphasis of the Laodicean church age. It's not how spiritual is your church. Does the Spirit of God meet with you in your church? Does anybody ever get saved by the grace of God in your church? All most people care about is how many. How many, many, many goes? What are we, in some kind of contest or something? A lot of churches are. We're just trying to see how many we can get to come to church, but no serious gardener is interested in only quantity. Yes, he wants more fruit, but he wants quality fruit. He wants better fruit. God wants better fruit out of our lives. There are no blue ribbons given at the state fair for grocery store tomatoes. Did you know that? I guess people used to be more interested in things like that than they are now. But I promise you, them grocery store tomatoes, and every year down in Winston-Salem, they have a big festival, and they have a tomato tasting contest. And I've read about it. I'd like to go down there. They have all kinds of people come from all over different places with all different varieties of tomatoes. But I guarantee you none of them grocery store tomatoes get... They wouldn't let them in there. You know what them grocery store tomatoes are. You go to the grocery store and you can get tomatoes year round. You can go in December and you can buy you some grocery store. Here's how they advertise. Vine ripened tomato. They'll leave the little green thing on top so you think you're getting a good tomato. And you say to yourself, oh, I would love about December. Oh, I'd love to have a good tomato. Has anybody ever done that? So you break down, you buy one of them grocery store tomatoes, and you go up and you get it. Do you know what? If you take that thing home and you set it on the counter and say you forgot about it for a month, you could go back and it would look exactly like it did when you bought it. They're all the same size. They're all the same color. They're all the same shape. They're all the same smell and texture. And they're all the same taste. They all taste exactly like the styrofoam container that they were sitting in when you bought them. Isn't that right? You ever go somewhere and get a tomato on a hamburger? I took Brother Byram out. And we had breakfast over one morning in one of the restaurants. And I had eggs and, with my meal. And it had two slices of tomato on it. And when I got that and I had that slice of tomato, I told Brother Byram, I said, I should have brought them a good tomato. Because I'm telling you, that tomato didn't even taste like it. This was texture, but it had no flavor. It had no juice. It had no taste on it. Nothing like that. And that is how the grocery store tomato is. But you know what? God is not interested in you being a grocery store tomato. You're just like everybody else, look like everybody else, taste like everybody. And everybody is always wanting to just see how many and how much we can all be alike. You go to one of these entertainment churches and they're all just alike. And they're all doing the same thing. And they all act in the same way. They're just a bunch of grocery store tomatoes out here. But I'm telling you, God is interested in heirloom tomatoes. Did you know that? Say, preacher, I didn't know that. Oh, yes, I can prove that from the Word of God. God is interested in heirloom tomatoes. Do you know what the word heirloom means? Heirloom means this, an old variety being cultivated again. That's what heirloom is. That's what Jeremiah was talking about when he said, thus saith the Lord, standing in the ways and seeing, as for the old paths, where's a good way? Walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. God is interested in the heirloom variety. That's what I'm interested in. I don't know about you, but if I had the choice, do you want an old grocery store tomato hard as a softball, or do you want one of these big, juicy, heirloom tomatoes? I'm telling you, that's a Brandywine tomato. That's the best tomato you ever put your chops on right there. That's what God is interested in. Heirloom, the old variety being cultivated again. Do you know one of the greatest compliments as a preacher that I have ever gotten in my life? When I was a young preacher, and I hadn't been preaching but maybe 3 or 4 years, and I had somebody come up to me, and they said, boy, I like you. They said, you remind me of an old-fashioned preacher. I said, hey, man, that's the kind I want to be. I mean, I try to be, honest to goodness, a little more dignified than I am sometimes, but I never want to get to the place where I don't want to be like an old-fashioned preacher. We sang a song last night, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. That's what God's interested in. God's not interested in this new stuff. God is always, you study revivals of the past, it's always a return to the old stuff, the heirloom variety. Being cultivated again. I'm glad they still some heirloom Christians around. That's what we ought to want to be. You young people, what kind of Christian are you going to be when you grow up? If they don't see some heirloom variety out of the older ones, all they're going to be is the grocery store variety. That's all they'll see. That's all they'll know. So pruning is for more fruit, yes. But what the Lord really wants is better fruit. Better fruit out of our life. So more and better fruit. Number two, pruning is used by the gardener to maintain size and appearance. Size and appearance. Now, vines can get this way. Tomato vines, grape vines, fruit trees, apple trees, pear trees, plum trees. They can get so big and full of themselves that they are difficult to manage. Boy, is there an application there or not? They can get so big and full of themselves that you can't do anything with them. That's about how we are, isn't it? We can get so big and full of ourselves with pride that the Lord Himself has a hard time getting anything fruitful out of us. But I'll tell you what pruning does. Pruning, it'll cut you down to size. God implements pruning in our lives to keep us fruitful and manageable. Keep us where He can do something with us. I'll be honest with you tonight. Every preacher, and I cannot tell you how many times down through the years that I have went and preached, and when the message was over with and the invitation had been given, oh, I would have given anything in the world to have had a button behind the pulpit that I could just mash it, and there'd be a hole open up behind the pulpit, and I could just fall down through that hole, and there'd be a secret tunnel out to my car, and I could just get in it, and I could leave real quick without having to talk to nobody. Say, how come, preacher? Because every preacher preaches a dud. Every preacher preaches just an awful message every once in a while. And I've thought many times that as I preached and there wasn't no liberty and I hadn't studied like I ought to and I just felt like a great big failure. I just thought, oh, why do we even have to go through and give an invitation? Wouldn't I love to run out the back door? And maybe by next Sunday, they'll have forgotten about it. But you know what? There's no trap door nowhere. Boy, this is real good. This is real good for you to keep you how you ought to be. Instead of having a trap door, I've always just tried to be man enough just to go to the back. And then you stand there and shake the hands of God's people and let them come by and tell a fib before they leave church and say, preacher, I enjoyed that. That's real good. And you want to say, boy, you're gracious. I appreciate that, but I know it wasn't no good. You know it wasn't no good. It's deader than 4 o'clock. God wasn't nowhere around. It was awful, but I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll keep you cut down to size. If you Sunday school teachers ever stood before your class and felt like an utter failure in what you did, and you knew you didn't study like you ought to, and you didn't have the answers that you wanted to, and you didn't have a grasp of what you... I mean, if you ever stood up and just said, I don't know. Well, that'll keep you humble. That'll keep you where God can use you. God is not interested in us getting so big and full of ourselves that, boy, we just think we're it. We're not it. He's it. We're nothing. If He didn't give us breath to breathe, we couldn't take our next breath. We couldn't say nothing. I cannot do anything without Him. That's what He said in verse number 5. For without me, ye can do nothing. Well, to be like John the Baptist, you know what he said in John 3:30? He said he, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he must increase, I must decrease. The only one that needs to be getting bigger around here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the rest of us need to realize that we're made out of some awful sinful flesh and that the Lord Jesus just needs to be getting bigger and we need to be getting smaller. You know, every once in a while, even in my family, I will be wrong. I know that's hard for you to believe tonight, but you can ask Kim, it's true. You know how it is. I'll say it's one way and she'll say it's another way. And I'll say, no, it's this way. And she'll say, no, you're wrong. And every once in a while, I'll be wrong. And I'll just have to say, you know what? I was wrong and you was right. Boy, that'll keep you humble. Why does God allow your children sometimes to be right and you're wrong? That'll keep you humble. God allows pruning in our lives to maintain size and to maintain appearance. To maintain not just size, but appearance. See what, when you see, let's say a tomato vine, for example, and you've seen a great big old bushy green looking thing, you might say, boy, that looks good. That is the way, that's a healthy vine. That is big, bushy, got leaves all over it. Boy, that looks healthy. But a gardener will come along and see that same thing and he'll say, boy, that needs a lot of work on it. That needs a lot of pruning. That's got a lot of branches that beareth not fruit, and they need to be taken away. And the ones that do bear fruit, they need to be purged. They need to be pruned. When I go through my garden, and I preached this morning, I told you the tool that I use more than anything else is my little pocket knife. And I go through and I go plant to plant to plant, and I talk to my plants because I get attached. And there's nobody else to talk to because nobody else comes and helps me except for Chloe. But anyway, I go through and I talk to them. And I go to a plant and I see it's got a lot more green on it than it needs to have on it. And so I need to work on it and I need to prune on it. And them big old broad leaves down at the bottom, they're not good for nothing. And I tell them, I reach down just as gently. And you know what? The Lord works gently in our lives as well. But I tell them, I say, now listen, and I'll snip it off. And I'll go through and I'll get a few more off what needs to be gotten off. And I tell that tomato plant, I say, listen, we're not having leaf growing contest. I want some tomatoes out of you. I want some big, juicy, red and yellow and stripy tomatoes. So we're not having leaf growing contest. I'm interested in fruit. And that's how the Lord is interested in our lives. He's not interested in how big and bushy you can get. God wants some fruit out of your life. And so He'll allow us to be wrong. He'll allow us to be humbled every once in a while. And that maintains size and appearance in our lives. All right, number three, pruning does this. It will reestablish the balance between the root and the branch system after transplanting. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Every year, I plant tomatoes in the garden. And when I get those tomatoes from the greenhouse, I'll bring them home and I get them out in the garden and I'm ready to go out there and plant them. The first thing that I will do as I transplant them, I'll take a whole lot of branches off the bottom. Because I want to bury them deeper than that little 2.5-inch piece of soil that's on the bottom. That's why a lot of people's tomatoes does not do any good. They're just planting them that deep. They need to be planted half again, however tall that they are. And you got to get all them branches off the bottom. Now, the reason that you want to do that is because that root is so very, very important to the health of that plant. And it's got to have a well-established root system. Do you know that it is the root that yields the fruit? You say, well, I thought it was the blossom. No, that comes from the root. If it wasn't for the root, that blossom would never receive any life to it. It wouldn't get any nutrients. It wouldn't get any water. It wouldn't get any nourishment. The root yields the fruit. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12 says, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. You see, that root, that's unseen. That's beneath the surface. You really don't know by looking at the plant anything about the root, do you? You can't tell which direction it's going in. You can't tell how deep it is. You can't tell how far out. But the only evidence you've got to the health of that root is looking at that plant. But you know, it's the root. And that root, you know what that's a type of? That's your devotional life. That's your walk with God. That's your prayer life. That's your Bible reading. That's something that other people don't see in your life, and nobody knows if you've got a real devotional life, a walk with God or not. But I'll tell you, it's the root of your life that's going to cause you to stand when the storms and trials of life come. It's going to be dependent on your root system, your secret time with God, your prayer time, your closet time, whatever you want to call it, but you've got to have a well-established root system if you're going to stand the storms of life. And so this is going to help to reestablish that balance between the root and the branch system after transplanting. Now, God is, I said this morning, God is not trying to kill you. He's trying to make a Christian out of you. You might think in your life sometimes, boy, the Lord, He's really working on me. He is being as gentle with you as possibly can be. Do you know that? He knows exactly how much we can take. And when I first started pruning years ago, and I dived into some tomato plants, and I had a big old stack of what I'd got out of the garden, and Kim walked out there and seen what I'd done, and like Brother Jason testified a few months ago on Sunday morning, she said, I don't know, I don't think y'all are, what, I think you've killed them. I said, I might have killed them, but that's what the book said to do. If we do what the book says to do, it's not going to kill us. It's going to make us better. And so it's going to help us. God is not trying to kill us. God is trying to make a Christian out of us. So God is continually pruning in our lives. Number four, pruning does this. Pruning trains a young plant. Good pruning now saves a whole lot of effort later on. On a young plant we're talking about, or even a young tree. The Bible said in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. See, vines have to be constricted. They have to be constrained. They have to be trained. A vine has to be on a trellis. A tomato vine needs to be in a cage or on a stake. It must be. It will not bear fruit just laying on the ground, letting the rabbits and the deer and the rain and the mud get all over them. You're not going to get any good fruit out of something like that. It's got to be trained up. It's the same way with children. They've got to be trained up. And a training up of a young plant is going to save a whole lot of trouble later on. I know some of you children, maybe you think, boy, my parents, my grandparents, they're hard on me. They won't let me do nothing. You ought to thank God for them. You ought to thank God for them. These children out here, they can do anything they want to do. They can go anywhere they want to go. They can have any friends they want to have. But let me tell you something they've all got in common. They all might act like they're happy, but I'm telling you they're not happy. And they'll not grow up to bear any good fruit in their life. They'll more than likely ruin if they don't get some training in their lives. You ought to thank God for parents, family, church, preacher, laws, work, school. If you apply and do what you're supposed to do while you're there, guess what? You'll learn something. Might help you be something later on down the road that God wants you to be. So God puts these constrictions, these training devices in our lives, and He has it there for a purpose that we might one day be fit to serve God and man and do something beneficial with our lives. So to train up a young plant, you've got to prune them. You've got to work on them. You've got to train them. Number five, and this ought to help us tonight, to rejuvenate older, neglected growth, you ought to prune. That word rejuvenate there, you could put revive. To revive older, neglected growth. You know what? If you've been saved a long time, I've been saved a long time. I still need pruning in my life. I just get old deadness in my life. I get old neglected things in my life. And if you'll remove the old neglected things, it will encourage new growth. You're never too old to grow and be productive. And be something and produce something for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. We had in Idaho, we had an orchard. And out from that, there was an apple tree that was not part of the orchard. And it was just old. It was one of these half-dead looking things. Wasn't no limbs on it for 8 or 10 feet up in the air. And it never produced one apple. And I was talking with my neighbor about it. And I said, what kind of tree is that anyway? And he explained to me. I said, I've never got an apple out of it. And it's right there beside the driveway. I said, I'm thinking about cutting it down. He said, oh, whatever you do. He said, don't cut that tree down. He said, I bet that tree's 100 years old. He said, if that tree ever does produce an apple, he said, that's the best apple you've ever had. I said, really? I didn't know that. And so I'd been learning about pruning. I thought, I'll try it on that old tree. And I got up there and I gave a good working over to that old tree in the early spring, late winter. And I'm telling you, by about June, that old neglected tree that I was just about ready to cut down, it had a bumper crop. Best sweet little early apples you've ever bit into in your life. And I said, boy, I'm glad I didn't cut it down. I'm glad I worked on it. And even as old as it is, it produced some fruit that we could enjoy. Don Green, brother Don Green, he's Brother John Green's father. And he pastors up in Michigan. Brother John is one of our missionaries, local church Bible publishers. His dad, and he's talked about his dad probably about every time he's ever been here, brings the books and Bibles and things. His father, Don Green, I heard him preach years ago. And when I heard him preach years ago, I'm sure that he was in his 70s, maybe near his 80s. He was an older man at that time. And he said this, as an older man, he said, most old people die backslid. Now, I'd never say that, but I think an older preacher can say that and get away with it, and I'll just tell you what he said. Wonder if there's anything to that. That's what he said. He said, most old people die backslid. That ought not to be that way. God's not done with you yet. If you are here and you're breathing breath, God is not done with you, and you can still produce fruit. Our cry ought to be, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? We might think we're old. We might think we're too far gone. We might think it's all left up to the young people. But I'm telling you, I've been there. I've seen some things. I've got a responsibility to preach to the young people. Tell them, yes, you can have revival. Yes, you need to pray. You need to call on God. You need to live for God. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Number 6. Moving on tonight, why do you prune? Why does God prune in our lives? He prunes to repair injury. We get injured along the way. There's 3 D's that, if you'll remember this in pruning, you might come to something you say, I don't know whether I ought to cut it off or not. If it's dead, if it's diseased, or if it's damaged, cut it off. If you've got something in your life, if it's dead, if it's diseased, if it's damaged, you ought to cut it off and get it out of your life. It's going to ruin you. God does that. Is something convicting you in your life? Is something bothering you? Is God working on you, trying to get something out of your life? You ought to let God get it out of your life. He's trying to help you. You ever read over in Psalms 51, David lost his joy? Remember that? He had sinned with Bathsheba and he hadn't got right with God. He lost his joy. He lost his song. He didn't have a clean heart no more. I mean, there's a lot of good things over there. But you know what David said in Psalms 51 verse 7? He said, purge me with hyssop. That purge is the same word there in John chapter 15 and verse number 2 that we looked at. He said, purge me, prune me, Lord, with hyssop. That hyssop is what they took. They dipped the hyssop in the lamb's blood and they struck the lintel, the doorpost. He's saying, Lord, I plead your blood. Lord, I've got sin in my life. Lord, purge me, cleanse me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then he said, then will I teach sinners in the way. You read that and study it when you get home. God wants to cut some things out of our lives to repair some injury that has gone on in the past. Number seven, and I'm almost done. Pruning is to maintain health. There's such thing as maintenance pruning. You don't just prune one time and never go back. You got to stay at it. You got to keep working at it. Maintenance pruning. If I'm pruning on a tomato plant, what I want to do, I want to make sure as that thing grows and gets bigger, I want to make sure that down on the inside, branches and suckers tend to congregate there. I want to make sure that them branches aren't all laying on each other and tangled with one another. So I'll go right down through there and get them branches that beareth not fruit and them suckers, and I'll get them out of there, because on the inside, there's got to be light and air. And light and air will keep disease away. And it'll maintain the health of that plant. And you and I need to keep the inside cleaned out, don't we? So that we might have a healthy walk with God. And the light of the Word of God can get down on the inside. And the air of the Holy Spirit of God can move and work in our midst. And so to maintain health, there needs to be regular pruning. And it keeps disease and rot from coming. And when the gardener goes through the garden, you know what? If he'll go through and he'll be real diligent and he'll look over his plants, and there's been many, many times as I look, I'll find some things that I didn't know was there till I got down in there. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God, he'll come through our lives and he'll find some things. He'll find some things as you read and study in the Word of God. He'll find some things you didn't know was there. And as you're meditating and praying and reading the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God will come along. He'll say, you need to get that out. We need to work on that. That's the Lord. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God working in your life, trying to make you healthy, fruitful, productive Christian for the Lord. And last of all tonight, and I'd never seen this till this past year, but there's something else that pruning does that I'd never noticed before, but what a blessing I got out of it. And last of all tonight, pruning extends the harvest. It'll extend the harvest. About 3 weeks ago, maybe three and a half now, the blight hit my garden, my tomatoes, terrible. And you know how it is when it comes, and boy, I've been fighting that all year long and watching, be a little spot here, a little spot there. And I tried to be diligent about spraying and pruning and everything, but I'm telling you, I went out there and overnight, the blight had just swept through the whole thing. And that everybody had been talking about this year. They've been saying, blight got my tomatoes, blight got in my garden. I hadn't got anything out of it, and boy, I seen that, and then my heart about fell. And I had a decision to make. I could either do like everybody else, and I could just say, oh, well, it's too late. I can't do anything about it now, and just let it all rot and die. And let me say this before I move on. That's what a lot of people have done in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've said, oh, well, it's too late now. We can't do anything about it. We're just going to have to meet God with what we've got. And they won't strike a lick at a snake when it comes to sin and things that still need to be dealt with in the church. And they just give up on getting any harvest. And people say this, they say, well, nobody's getting saved. You know, Brother Lane's back there, and he got saved a few weeks ago. He's not a nobody. He's a somebody. He's somebody God loves so much. He came to him in these last days and convicted him and saved him by his marvelous grace. And next Sunday, we're going to baptize him. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that a blessing? He's not a nobody. And anybody, Sister Jennifer's not a nobody. She got saved here at Mount Lebanon. Been a few years ago now. She's not a nobody. What a blessing. What a blessing. God's still working. God's still moving. God's still saving. And so I made a decision. I thought, I'm going to try one more time. And boy, I got out there and I went to working and working. And oh, what a pile of blighted, dead leaves and rotten fruit and spotted fruit that I had piled up to throw on the burn pile. And I did all that work. Took about half a day, I guess. Probably about 4 hours I worked at that. And I said, well, we'll see what happens. You know what? I went back in a couple of days and I found some of these. Praise the Lord. I said, boy, I'm glad I got in there and pruned one more time. And I had a few more tomatoes. And I said, praise the Lord. That's one of them latecomers right there. It's not as big as some I had earlier on. But I'll tell you, it'll be good on a sandwich when I get home tonight. I'm glad I done it. It extends the harvest. We need to let God continue to work in our lives because we ought to be real interested in the harvest of the Lord. You know what's going to happen when the harvest is over? You and I are going home. And I was out there the other day, last Monday, and I was going along and I had a few ripe tomatoes. I was picking, and I came to one vine and I looked down. And there's one tomato on that vine. And it's ready to get off. And I reached down and I got that one last tomato off that vine. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and said, one of these days, I'm going to go through my churches. And one by one, here and there, I'm going to get the last one there. And I'm going to pick the last one over there. Boy, that did something in my heart tonight. You say, oh, we're not having many saved. No, but we're having one every once in a while. And one of these days, God's going to go through Mount Lebanon. He's going to get the last one over here. And he's going to go through Westside. And that's the last one he's going to get over there. And then, praise God, when he gets the last one in the last church, on the last day, he's going to say, there's the last one. He's going to get that last one. And it's going to be, son, go get thy children. Blow the trump of God. We're out of here. We ought to be interested in the harvest right up until the very end. We ought to be desirous to see the harvest gotten in. We ought to want to see more and more and more people saved. Because when that last one gets picked, we're going to go home to be with Jesus. I'd be for tonight, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be all right? I don't have to go back to the house for nothing. But there's some people I love. And there's some people we've been praying for a long time. That, oh, I wish God would save. I wish the Lord would save them. I wish they'd be one of those last ones. But it extends the harvest. Wouldn't you like to see God continue to get some fruit out from among us? Well, we're going to have to continue pruning in our lives and in our church until the trump of God sounds. And then we'll go home to be with Him. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. And I'll ask Sister Alice to come.